me tell you about a place somewhere up in New York way, where the people are so gay, twisting the night away. Here they have a lot of fun, putting trouble on the run. Man, you find the old and young twisting the night away. They're twisting, twisting. Everybody's feeling great. They're twisting, twisting. They're twisting the night away. Here's a man in evening clothes. How he got here, I don't know, but man, you ought to see him go twisting the night away.
Pain in the Morning. 626. Twisting the Night Away. That's what I usually do here. Reading the Night Away, ranting through the Night Away. We have fun. We had some fun last night and this morning on Pain in the Morning. I was able to rip out a Elvis song. Got a lot of feedback on that. Hey, I don't care, man. I just let it rip. I'm fearless. Somebody asked for that Elvis song and said, hey, if you can sing along, it'd mean a lot to myself, my family, who are going through a lot of trouble. Plus, I think they wanted to see if I could actually sing Elvis. Make up your own mind. And I got a nice note from the person today saying that was a nice pick-me-upper for them. And it's a tough time for a lot of people. Myself included. The country's going through a very bad stretch, I think it's fair to say. So if I have to sing a song and cheer somebody up, hey, I'll do it. Don't cost nothing. Isn't that the line from Animal House? Don't cost nothing. We're going to do first. Why is this not stopping? It's got a mind of its own, folks. Let's jump right into it, and then we'll take care of some business. First headline, bombshell Penn State study shows 80 times more infections existing in March than the official count by the dopes at the CDC. A little white liar. With these fucking white liars in the CDC and White House Coronavirus Task Force, which are goddamn criminals. They should be prosecuted for what they've done to this country. Yeah, I wouldn't want to be in your shoes either. During a Senate Homeland Security Committee remote hearing on May 6th, one of the witnesses, Dr. David Katz, commenting about the lockdown in late March, said, we may have closed the barn door after all the horses were out. A new study of hard data demonstrates that the horses left long before the shutdown and shows just how illogical the lockdown was when it was implemented. Also shows that this virus is much more widespread and less deadly than we thought. Yet the experts, in quote, refuse to think and rethink their approach in light of new information. It's really insane. These people are fucking cement heads. Ruining the country on purpose, I think. And the White House is going along with it. We didn't start testing for COVID-19 until March, and testing didn't ramp up in earnest until a month or two later in most parts of the country. How many cases already existed when the panic set in during mid-March? According to peer-reviewed studies by Penn State, the number of early COVID-19 cases in the United States may have been more than 80 times greater and doubled nearly twice as fast as originally believed. That basically makes this pandemic more, even more of a scamdemic. Here's a bombshell just for you. The government always lies, it's true. The study which was published in the journal Science Translational Medicine, analyzed influenza-like illnesses. Surveillance data over a three-week period in March, of course, 2020. Researchers calculated the likely excess cases that clearly were not typical flu and estimate that excess ILI corresponds to more than 8.7 million new cases during the last 3 weeks of March, compared to roughly 100,000 cases that were officially reported during the same time period by the CDC. Oh, okay, so the real number is 8.7, and the CDC was taking like death mortality rates and comparing them against 100,000, which jacks up. You know, it's like, oh my God, 4% of everybody who has this are dying, when the real number was 8.7 million. By the time we locked down, this virus was already spreading far and wide. The CDC's own research on mitigating the spread of flu indicates that the effectiveness of pandemic mitigation strategies will erode rapidly as the cumulative illness rate prior to implementation climbs above 1% of the population in an affected area. I know this stuff might sound boring. It's like numbers and science and stuff, but we highlighted this because it's egregious what they've done here, the government. So stick with me on this. According to the Penn State study, the virus had already hit 4% of the nationwide population and 9% of New York residents by the time of the lockdown. That explains why 66% of those who were hospitalized in New York were people who were already staying at home. Lockdowns were never going to work. According to the study, the overwhelming majority of states were already at more than 1% prevalence. Stick with me. Under the subheading in the story of testing metrics are meaningless given the enormous number of those infected with few or no symptoms. What the study shows is that the virus spreads like the flu, unlike SARS-CoV-1 in 2003, which was rare and deadly. That was more of a pandemic than this. This is like the flu. This is the context the media fails to provide when trumpeting more cases in the southern states. Now that we have universal testing in hospitals and anyone can obtain a test anywhere else, we are discovering more of what already was spreading for a while. It's not surprising now that hospitals are back up to capacity with typical patients that a large percentage of them are testing positive for the virus even though they don't have serious cases. Rhode Island Health Director Nicole Alexander Scott said already in May, "We are now identifying more people who are in the hospital with COVID-19 as opposed to just people who are in the hospital because of COVID-19 for COVID-19 related illnesses. Someone could have a sprained ankle. And if they're screened for COVID-19 and their test results return positive, they may be in the hospital with COVID-19." Stupid shit here, guys. We want to make sure we are capturing the data as well. This new study demonstrates that had we implemented universal testing at that period in March, along with regular flow of patients, we would have reported exponentially more hospitalizations. It's all rigged. It's been all rigged by these idiots. The three blind mice, the three stooges in the White House, Anthony Fauci, Robert Redfield, and Deborah Birx. Three idiots, three liberal idiots, sabotaged the entire country while the White House stood by. Remember that on November 4th. Shout out to everybody out there watching the video podcast on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit. We appreciate the support. big time, helping us keep the lights on out here. We are not supported by billionaires and millionaires, and we don't get paid by foreign governments. One of these days I'll do a show and just take everybody's fucking head off in the media, but you can read between the lines. We don't get paid by anybody. We're supported by readers and listeners, and that's the way it should be. If you're not good enough to do this in the marketplace and survive, you should not be doing this. You shouldn't be propped up in welfare journalism by millionaires and billionaires. But that's the way it is. So we plug away on an old school model and grind it out. But we appreciate the help on those platforms. It makes a world of difference. It has made a world of difference. As we continue to get more traction on the podcast and reach more people with our message of anti-corruption, anti-stupidity in government and beyond. So thank you on those platforms. Second headline, Supreme Court hands Trump administration a win on deportation powers. Let's see, Marty Robbins or Grateful Dead? Well, Marty Robbins. We'll go some Marty Robbins. Maybe if it's long enough, we'll go back into the dead. Little El Paso. The Supreme Court ruled Thursday for the Trump administration in a key immigration case, determining that a federal law limiting an asylum applicant's ability to appeal a determination that he lacked a credible fear of... Kind of a fucking lead is this? This is brutal. Fox News. Jesus. I'm telling you, I think they literally have robots. A lot of these places have robots now writing these things. AI. They put a bunch of stuff in and the AI scrambles everything and writes it for them. Because this stuff is not readable. Let me break this down for you. The ruling means when somebody's detained, being in the country illegally, they don't have to go in front of a judge anymore before they can get their ass kicked out of the country. That's what it means. Just break it down. Before you had to wait, you had to have a court date. Now they can just put you on a school bus and take you back to where you came from or take you to the border and say, beat it. Go home. Put an egg in your shoe and beat it. I don't understand. These things are crazy. I mean, you're out there reading this news. It's actually harder to digest these days. The ruling means that the administration, can deport people seeking asylum without allowing them to make their case to a federal judge. The 7-2 ruling applies to those who fail their initial asylum screenings, making them eligible for quick deportation. 7-2. Let's see. Let's take a guess which two female judges dissented. I'm going to say Sotomayor and Ginsburg. Let's see if I'm right. I'm not sure. It should say, but usually says like at the very end who dissented. Oh, dissenting opinion. Sotomayor, joined by Justice Ilana Kagan, who looks like a frustrated gym teacher. He looks like, give her a whistle around her neck. Two dingbats appointed by Obama. Some real winners here. Wow. Some real cement heads. This little Marty Robbins, that was nice. New headline, Black Lives Matter leader states, if the U.S. doesn't give us what we want, then we will burn down this system. I'd say they're off to a good start. I don't know, it's just me. This might be the Black Lives Matter theme song. Thank you. Greater New York Black Lives Matter President Hank Newsom. Hank, burn, baby, burn. Newsom. joined the story Wednesday to discuss the direction of the movement in the wake of George Floyd's death in police custody and the subsequent demonstrations across the country, many of which have sparked destruction and violence. Yeah, I say it sparked it, all right. Let's put it lightly. You have said that violence is sometimes necessary in these situations, host Martha McCallum told Newsom. What exactly is it that you hope to achieve through violence? Wow. It's interesting that you would pose that question like that, Newsom responded. Yeah, I mean, it's so outlandish to ask why you're burning cities down. Because this country is built upon violence. What was the American Revolution? What's our diplomacy across the globe? We go in and we blow up countries and we replace their leaders with leaders who we like. So for any American to accuse us of being violent is extremely hypocritical. This guy go to school at? You see people like this on the news. They're teachers who they had in TV. Say, I had that guy in class. Jesus Christ. This guy was a nightmare in school. Now he's on television? Now he's leading people? I said, Newsom told the host, if this country doesn't give us what we want, then we will burn down this system and replace it. All right? And I could be speaking figuratively. I could be speaking literally. It's a matter of interpretation. The interview took a turn after McCallum read a quote from Martin Luther King Jr. and asked Newsom if he agreed with it. Let us be dissatisfied, King told the Southern Christian Leadership Conference convention in 1967, until that day when nobody will shout white power, when nobody will shout black power, but everybody will talk about God's power and human power. Newsom retorted, I love the Lord and my Lord and Savior. Newsom responded, Jesus Christ is the most famous black radical revolutionary in history. And he was treated just like Dr. King. He was arrested on occasion, and he was also crucified or assassinated. I think it was one or the other. This is what happens to black activists. We are killed by the government. Wow. Why would Fox News give this bird brain a forum? At the conclusion of the interview, Newsom told McCallum, I just want black liberation and black sovereignty. By any means necessary. Yeah, I guess so, if you're going to torch the cities and the country down. Let's go over some of this genius's analysis. I like to go back and see like where these guys grew up at and if they actually came up the hard way. Because I did, and I lived in pretty gritty communities with the brothers, with Hispanics, Italians, Polacks, Germans, Irish. We all got along, but he says some stuff in here that's really mind-blowing. This country is built upon violence. True. What was the American Revolution? What's our diplomacy across the globe? Two different things, 240-plus years apart. It's apples and oranges. We go and we blow up countries and we replace them with leaders who we like. So for any American to accuse us of being violent is extremely hypocritical. Our geopolitical approach and foreign diplomacy or policy is completely different than domestic. The reason that we do these things, having worked for the federal government, is to keep our way of life here in America Well, you may agree with this, or you may not. To keep our way of life here in America safe and preserved, and sometimes you got to roll your sleeves up to do that. But historically, we've been rolling up our sleeves across the globe and not here domestically. So to compare the two is sophomoric at best and naive, I think. And it's an immature and it's an adolescent view of geopolitics and foreign policy. It doesn't give you an excuse because the powers in place that handle these things, intelligence, defense, DIA, CIA, DOD, even apparatuses under the DOJ like FBI, DEA, that have international attachés all over the place. Those are professionals that are trained to do this. You just can't. The other thing is, right, what is really so bad? I just don't understand what's so bad. When you break things down and you look at the amount of money a lot of folks get from the government for assistance, well, I don't get it. What's the rub? The American Revolution was started because the English and the monarchy was taxing the colonists and pushing them around and shooting them in the face. That's not happening to anybody in the United States from the powers that be. In fact, we're overtaxed, if anything, right? But what he's talking about is, if he's talking about lower socioeconomic communities where there's more poor white people than there are black people, there's several trapdoors in his argument. Number one, these folks get assistance from the government. White, black, Hispanic, whatever. Including my family when I was growing up, so I know about it. So what's there to be mad about? It's one thing if you were living in squalor, and you do tend to get a little angry when you're growing up poor, but you are getting assistance from the government. That wasn't happening in the 1700s. You're getting taxed, but England wasn't giving us anything back. So this guy's arguments are all over the map, as I said. And we could discuss this down the road in future reference, but it's really I guess this is what they're selling people, and it sounds great. You can whip up a crowd with this, but it's not really based in reality. And also, if you look at the numbers, and I guess you could probably break this down by race or whatever. If you look at the numbers of the amount of money that folks under the poverty line have gotten from the government since the 1960s, it's massive. Now, growing up in a family that was a recipient of that, a single parent family, recipient of that, also with this guy, that money is meant to be a bridge, not a way of life. Money's meant to take care of you in tough times, to help get you through when you have a downturn in your job and things like that. A lot of people, regardless of race and color, whatever the hell, little categories everybody's trying to break everybody down into, a lot of people under the poverty line use that government support as a crutch, not as a bridge. So, again, his arguments are very hollow. But you really could manipulate a crowd with what he's saying, because it's like, yeah, it's unfair, it's unfair, it's unfair. But when you really break it down, it's like, wait a minute, let's go over this point by point, see if it makes any sense. The problem is these guys, we could talk about it ad nauseum. Some previous shows I've done where I talk about community leaders and these big mouths all cash in, but the people down in the street, like when I was growing up, we didn't see any of the money the corporations were giving, and people were having fundraisers. We didn't see anything. Oh, we're going to build a community center. Yeah. What does that do for me? I don't have a car. I don't have money to get on a bus. All that does for people is people they know get the contracts, the building contracts. Everybody makes money. But the dudes like me out in the street, my brother, my sister, you know, my mom, how does that benefit us? How does that put food on our table? It doesn't. All these community leaders, Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, they get rich, super rich. They get foundations, charities. They cash in. What about us down in the street? Where's that money? All that money never reaches the street. It's frustrating. So it's unfortunate, too. When you're below the poverty line, you're getting manipulated by the government. And then you get sold out by your own community, so-called community leaders, who see an opportunity to cash in, to use this as an opportunity to cash in. They're grifters. And it's nothing has changed. The game continues. The players have changed, but the game is the same. Headline. Or so, whatever you were saying, buddy, you're full of shit. And you would think maybe this Martha McCollum or somebody on Fox would say, whoa, 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 whoa. What are you talking about? You're comparing apples and oranges. You're not even making any sense. You're taking an argument from 240 years ago. You're comparing things from 240 years ago. The wrong way, by the way. Anyhow. These chicks on Fox, with these leggy blondes on Fox are just like, oh, yeah, okay. Well, it doesn't say that on the cue card. My producer didn't tell me. I should have questioned. Oh, okay. Let's go to commercial break. Jesus. It's like strip club journalism. Headline, Oregon legislature considers bill to suspend due process. Oh, due process? No due process. They've taken away enough of your rights. They'll just take habeas corpus away and due process. Just stuff you in the back of a van. Give me some shelter from these types of fucking communists. Oregon Governor Kate Brown. There's some real dingbats running these states and cities. Convened the Oregon legislature into emergency session on Wednesday, which is expected to last 2 or 3 days. The agenda has several bills, including HB 4212. That bill includes a clause written by Martha Walters, another moron, the Chief Justice of Oregon's Supreme Court, at the request of Brown. The clause will allow Walters to suspend due process for up to 60 days if she deems it necessary during the response to the COVID-19 pandemic. So this fucking bitch on the court can just write her own law. Yeah, that seems like a good process. The Chief Justice of Oregon Supreme Court just say, "Oh, it's okay. It's okay, Governor. Just remove everybody's rights when you fucking feel like it." Now, we have a lot of readers and listeners in Oregon that are good people, and I don't know how they stomach these fools out there. Oregon's a beautiful state. But some of these people are real idiots. Instead of the legislature reining Governor Brown in after her illegal orders under the CCP coronavirus pandemic, they have proposed to expand the emergency powers of state government. I can make several disparaging remarks, but I will hold off. The bill says it authorizes the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court during emergency period and for 60 days thereafter, and upon finding a good cause, to extend or suspend time period or time requirement in rule or statute specified court proceedings authorizes the presiding judge in a circuit court to extend custody and postpone trials upon finding of a good cause and within specified limits. Immunizes owner, officer, operator, employee, or agent of isolation shelter or public entity from civil liability that is predicated on claims of illness. Injury or death from COVID-19 exempts from immunity conduct that constitutes gross negligence, malice, or fraud that is willful, intentional, or reckless, that is criminal, or that is unrelated to COVID-19. So if they kill you on purpose, like they did in New York with Governor Cuomo, no one can be held criminally liable is what this is about. Due process. It's not about due process. This is a legalized killing. Who's the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court out here? Dr. Kevorkian? It requires the Director of the Department of Consumer and Business Services to adopt temporary and permanent rules establishing emergency temporary infection disease standards. Blah, 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 blah. But I mean, you just got the gist of it. Isn't that nice? They can just give themselves a get out of jail free card. Anybody in an isolation shelter or public entity. Isolation shelter, right? Will include a hospital, I would think. From civil liability that is predicated on claims of illness, injury, or death from COVID-19. Exempts from immunity conduct that constitutes gross negligence, malice, or fraud that is willful, intentional, or reckless, that is criminal, or that is unrelated to COVID-19. So basically, you can just kill anybody you want. Great state. Great state. Jesus. If you live in these states, guys, it's time to get the fuck out of there. You're gonna end up in a bad situation in the hospital and stuff with these people running things. Be standing over your body deciding on how to kill you if it's profitable enough to the hospital. That's what's been going on. Well, let's just face it. Let's see where we're at here. Oh boy, here's an FBI story. Let me take a little sip of water here. We'll play a little music. FBI, right? Crossfire Hurricane. We'll play a little Jumpin' Jack Flash, take a little water break. Sorry, I get like parched. These FBI dopes. Ray says, I have disciplined and terminated people involved in FISA abuse. So it's all right now. Talk about people who have suspended due process. Fucking FBI. Your due process. During an interview aired on Wednesday's broadcast of the Fox News Channel Special Report, FBI Director Christopher Wray stated that current FBI employees involved in FISA abuse have been referred for discipline by him, and that the most senior people involved in the abuse are long gone, having been terminated, retired, or resigned, and that some of the terminations took place during his tenure. Ooh, what a tough guy. Ray also said that he has gone above and beyond the recommendations of the IG report on FISA abuse. I think we have a clip from him, right? Did he say he was going to... Yeah. He says he's taking care of business. I think we have a clip from him. Let's see.
The time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Whoa. Talking tough.
It's going to be different. This year, we're going to grab the bull by the balls and kick those punks off campus.
What do you intend to do, sir? Delta's already on probation.
They are?
Yes, sir.
Oh. Then, as of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
Double secret probation?
Ray, don't worry, Ray has everybody on double secret probation. Ray said, I've put in place an entirely new leadership team, and even though I was director at the time, I wasn't director at the time of all this, my team and I are fiercely committed to making sure we fix the problems of the past. Well, we've accepted every finding and recommendation in the IG report, but then gone above and beyond, put in place over 40 corrective measures that enhance our training, strengthen our process, build in more oversight and accountability, and have referred employees, current employees, for discipline. He added, the most senior people involved in this activity in this report are long gone, either terminated sometime during my tenure, retired, or they resigned.
Jumpin' Jack Flash.
Yeah, okay, Ray. Ray with $5 million tied up in Russia of his own money. He's going to preach to us about ethics and what's right and what's wrong. Guy's worth $45 million. Why is he playing grab ass for a couple $100,000 salary in Washington? Do the math. He can't even make this up. Here's one for us. Let's move into this one. That's the wrong one. Killing in the Name Of. Perfect song for this story. Bill Gates and his wife. Quote, Black people and indigenous people should get the vaccine first. Bill Gates' wife, Melinda, said last week during a virtual Forbes philanthropy summit with her husband that Black people and indigenous people should receive the coronavirus vaccine first if they are in the healthcare field. One of the reasons we are so involved in this is that you don't want the first vaccines to go to the highest bidding countries, Melinda Gates said. Wait a minute. Aren't we paying to develop this fucking thing? Yes. Who the fuck are you, Gates? I run the government. Melinda Gates. What are your qualifications? I'm sure she has none. We underwrite it and then she says who it goes to. Sit your fucking ass down.
There are 60 million healthcare workers. They deserve to get the vaccine first. They're the ones dealing with this on the front lines, trying to keep us all safe.
I would guarantee you any healthcare worker with a brain would not want any vaccine from Bill Gates and his bird brain wife. She went on to explain who in the healthcare industry should receive the vaccine first. Who made this fucking broad queen? Take you and your money and your ass over to England if you want to be the queen. We didn't vote for these people. Get the fuck out. Then you have to start to tier from there based on countries and the populations, Gates continued. Here in the United States, it's going to be Black people who really should get it first and many indigenous people, as well as people with underlying symptoms and the elderly people. Bill Gates commented on a few prospective vaccines, which are made by Moderna, AstraZeneca, and Johnson & Johnson, which, of course, Bill Gates will cash in on everything. This is no worse than the flu. And if the flu vaccine worked, you wouldn't have to get it every fucking year. Doesn't work. Flu shots, bullshit. And this is going to be bullshit as well. Pushing a vaccine through in weeks and months. Get the fuck out of here. It takes years to develop a vaccine. Ask the paralyzed kids in India and Poland and other places around the world about Bill Gates' vaccines. Bill Gates also accused the U.S. government of evading global problem solving and just trying to cast blame with its withdrawal from the World Health Organization. Hey, fuckface, we don't have to solve the globe's problems. Take your bag of fucking gold and go do it yourself. Stop paralyzing children around the world before you start pointing fingers at the U.S. government. Dr. Death.
Usually the United States plays a role in global problem solving, so rather than withdrawing from the WHO, they'd be involved collaborating with other countries, not just trying to cast blame, Gates said.
So let me get this straight. So when America eventually develops a vaccine, this is pointing for you, Bill Gates, right here. Fuck you, I won't do what you tell me. So when America eventually develops a vaccine, as we always do, they want first dibs to be some non-contributing country when the taxpayers had to underwrite the majority of the research and development. That's how I feel about Bill Gates. They put it perfect. They put it perfectly. It's a good song pick. In Bill Gates' world, Americans, taxpayers, we underwrite these things through our government. Not a lot of people understand that. And then after we do that, wouldn't the people in the United States, wouldn't they be first in line if they wanted to get a functioning vaccine that was proven to work before anybody else gets a sniff? No, not in Bill Gates' world. He wants to take that shit on the road again that he didn't, that bullshit fake vaccine show that he's already played with the Clinton Foundation, giving people placebo, sugar water or battery acid in third world countries where he can't be held liable when he kills people. Bad guy. Bad dude, man. Headline, Seattle's CHOP leader says, I'm not here for peace, and reveals what comes next. I would think the criminal trials or the shootings of the people, the person that was killed and other people that were shot, and the civil suit comes next, in case you... In case this bird brain hasn't figured it out. Was it supposed to be the summer of love out there? This is like, it's like a rally. It's like a summer of love. It's a block party. That's what the mayor said, the dingbat mayor. Behind the scenes, pulling strings and raising money is a young woman, a dyed-in-the-wool radical who's in charge of logistics, messaging, and apparently fundraising. I like how these media, they try to glorify these communist criminals. Her name is Jaden Grayson. She appears to be a part-time model and radical. Oh, she's only a radical part-time? Wow, I didn't know you could, you know, be a part-time radical. It's interesting. All you need is love. All we need is love out there. It's love. It was a love fest. Pay no attention to the guy that got killed and the other two people who got gunned down. It's a lot of love. Love and healing. The mayor says healing, yeah, especially for the people that got shot and the family that lost a loved one. The Seattle CHOP chief. Wait a minute, chief? They said that is a racial word. This article needs to be rewritten. Chief is a disparaging word to Native Americans. And we have to be cognizant of how we treat Native Americans and speak to them and the words and vocabulary we use and the tone to a group of people that we stole the entire country from, poisoned with smallpox and shot in the face. The Seattle Chop Chief admits that the takeover of public and private property on June 8th has never been about peaceful protests. It's always been a show of force to frighten local officials by any means necessary. Yeah. Jaden Grayson told independent journalist Amy Horowitz she's there to disrupt. Well, I thought she was a part-time model and radical and a dyed-in-the-wool radical. Dyed-in-the-wool radical, that's a fancy name for unemployed. Every single day that I show up here, I'm not here to peacefully protest. Yeah, we saw that. I'm here to disrupt until my demands are met. You cannot rebuild until you break it all the way down. Respond to the demands of the people or be ready to be met with any means necessary. What are you going to do, urinate on us? By any means necessary is not a slogan. It's not even a warning. I'm letting people know what comes next. I think what comes next is a long string of years of unemployment and other bad things to come. Love is all you need. That's all we need out here in the street, man. Yeah, love. Grayson said that the violence done by Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and CHOP is no vice. It's a response to violence. It's not violence itself. That's nice if you can get law enforcement see things your way, I guess. So, violence is not violence in itself, man. If you respond to violence, it's not violence, man. Yeah. I was able to find a higher understanding in the street, man. Walking among the vagabonds, the vagrants, the lowlifes, the hobos. Weaving in and out of the defecation in the street. I came to a higher learning about violence, man, who I am. Every single day I show up here, I'm not here peacefully to protest, man. Mostly I'm here just to clean up shit from the street. These people are, it's unbelievable. Inmates are running the asylum, literally. Speaking of inmates, he's back again, the boss. Bruce Springsteen.
Bruce is just like you and me, man. He's blue collar on his 250-acre horse farm in Colts Neck, New Jersey that he pays no taxes on, just like me and you, man. He's a regular guy, blue-collar guy.
Bruce Springsteen, I don't know if our democracy could stand another 4 years of Trump. I'm going to read this a little bit. Bruce Springsteen has called President Trump a threat to our democracy, saying that he doesn't know if our democracy could stand another 4 years of his custodianship. The Born in the USA rocker made the comments in an interview with The Atlantic, in which he also said he feels optimistic about the November elections.
I think it's all these kids in the street, man, that are inspiring the hope in me, he said.
This guy's the biggest fucking phony. Bruce Springsteen told the magazine that he views President Trump as a threat to the country.
I believe that our current president is a threat to our democracy. He simply makes any kind of reform that much harder. I don't know if our democracy could stand another 4 years of custodianship. They're all existential threats to our democracy and our American way of life.
This should be Bruce's song, theme song, Money for Nothing.
I'm just like you, man. I'm worth millions. I'm like you people, man. When I watched the president march to St. John's Church and pose with his Bible and his phony all-white contingent.
Oh, what, Bruce's street now? Living on his farm with his fucking cowboy hat?
It didn't look real. Because it wasn't real. That's not the America of today. That culture which keeps black people invisible is gone.
I don't think there's a single black person in Colts Neck, New Jersey. I'm just going to go out on a limb. This guy pretends like he's living in the hood? It's one of the most exclusive places in the United States, and he doesn't even pay full taxes. He's got a little scheme worked out there, doing very well for himself. Hey, if he wants to cheat the government, more power to you, but get off your fucking rocker's high horse.
The rocker also mocked the Republican Party for what he sees as its lack of racial diversity. When you see the Democratic side of the House filled with brown people and black people, straight people and gay people, and you look at the Republicans who appear unchanged by history at this moment, they look ridiculous, he said.
This guy shows you what a mental midget he is, right? Unbelievable. But he's from Hollywood. He knows, you know, he's from the music.
Oh, man, Bruce is back. He's gonna... Is everybody down on the beach? Any Republicans out here on the beach? You guys need... Yeah. You guys know what time it is? You Republicans know what time it is? How come there's no black and brown Republicans, man?
You can't even make this guy up. He's so bad. I know there's a lot of fans out there that like his music, but it's really hard to like his music and listen to his politics.
Oh, man. I don't see... You guys... Republicans have any black people? Any brown people? Any gay people? Oh, not many. Not many. You guys in trouble.
I can't, you can't even make it up, this guy. So that's what it's about, right? Does this guy understand that the Democratic side of the House, historically, wanted to keep slavery active? It was the Republican side of the House that ended slavery with President Lincoln. It wasn't the Democrats.
Oh, that's not true, man, because I wrote a song about it on the back of a bus ticket from Asbury Park when I was poor. I'm just like you.
Shut the fuck up, Bruce. Fucking phony. I love making fun of that guy. He's a fucking asshole. What do we got left here? Oh, yikes. Let's move this over to the other page so I can read it. And where's the music for that? Oh, Herman's Hermits.
No milk today. My love has gone away. The bottle stands for...
No milk today for Devin Nunez. He lost his legal battle with the Twitter cow. Yes, this is a real story. He sued a Twitter cow, a U.S. congressman, and lost. Devin Nunez, who tanked his reign on the House Intelligence Committee. Former chair of the House Intelligence Committee. For some reason, everybody loves. I would say he's more there to be a hindrance to the president than anything else. All those FBI folks, everybody wants to put in jail. Nunez could have drugged them before Congress when he was running the Intelligence Committee for 2 years, where they, think about this, 2017 to 2019, basically. Congress had the majority in the House, Congress had the majority in the Senate, and Congress had a GOP, the GOP had the majority in the House, the GOP had the majority in the Senate, and a GOP White House. And this guy was running the House Intelligence Committee, and now one FBI official or DOJ official, who a group of law school students from a state university could have indicted. Not one of them is in jail. Remember Nunez was going to declassify all this stuff? Nothing was declassified. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're sending criminal referrals. Yawn. Anyway. Tried to sue a cow. Didn't work out. Devin Nunez, Republican member of Congress from California and the former chair of the House Intelligence Committee, from which platform he built an identity as a mastermind of President Trump's legal and political defense in the Russian scandal. Nunez's strangest lawsuit was filed last year against Twitter, demanding $250 million in damages over tweets by an account called Devin Nunez's Cow. Nunez has predictably lost his case against Twitter. This is what your congressmen are doing while the country burns. Literally burns. The suit cites a series of anti-Nunez tweets from the Devin Cow account. Devin Nunez's Cow has made, published, and republished hundreds of false and defamatory statements concerning Nunez, including the following: Nunez is a treasonous cowpoke. Devin's boots are full of manure. It's just, he's utterly worthless. Utterly. It's past your time to move him. Devin is way, W-H-E-Y, in over his head and mom. He actually sued Twitter. Nunez has ongoing personal suits with CNN, The Washington Post, Hearst, McClatchy, and Fusion GPS. I don't know why he's suing Fusion GPS. He went out of his way to make sure that their finances were not made public when the House subpoenaed Fusion GPS and the folks to see. I'll tell you why. Because people from Congress were getting paid by Fusion GPS, or might have been paying Fusion GPS for research. We broke that story. It goes on and on and on. Right? You have a... a general theme here. We're talking about the Animal House. You have a general theme here about the government, whether it's all these people we talked about, coronavirus specifically, and we're having some fun with Animal House. And I have a quote, Ray, don't worry. Everybody's on double secret probation in the FBI. But, this was poignant when talking about coronavirus and listening to what the government says and where that has gotten you.
Come on, flounder. You can't spend your whole life worrying about your mistakes. You fucked up. You trusted us.
That says it all. Shout out and a thank you to everybody on subscribestar.com/truepundit and patreon.com/truepundit for your support and watch the video podcast. And it's been a busy week here. We had a great Wednesday main podcast on Wednesday, and the pain of the mornings have been fun for me to do. I appreciate it. And I appreciate the support on those forums that are helping us make some inroads here and build a little momentum from a grassroots standpoint, not funded by big money people with deep pockets trying to run another puppet media organization. So we thank you. And as I usually close the show, say God bless and take care.
Somewhere up a New York way, where the people are so gay, twisting the night away. Here they have a lot of fun, putting trouble on the run. Man, you find the old and young, twisting the night away. They're twisting, twisting, everybody's feeling great. They're twisting, twisting, they're twisting the night away. Here's a man in evening clothes, how he got here I don't know, but man, you ought to see him go, twisting the night away. He's dancing with the chicken slacks,
she's moving up and back. Oh man, there ain't nothing like twisting the night away. They're twisting, twisting. Everybody's feeling great. They're twisting, twisting. They're twisting the night. Let's twist a while. With the older queen who's dolled up in her diamond rings and twisting the night away. Man, you ought to see her go twisting to the rock and roll. Here you find the young and old twisting the night away. They're twisting, twisting, man. Everybody's feeling great. They're twisting, twisting. They're twisting the night. One more time.